Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
On this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the event that took place 50 days after Jesus' resurrection and 10 days after his ascension, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. In some way, Pentecost can be considered the birthday of the church. That is, when the mystical body of Christ, the church, received her soul, capital S, the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And though the event of Pentecost occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, its effects have never ceased in the life of the church, especially in the lives of the faithful who strive to be docile to the Holy Spirit and truly devoted to him. As Christians, we know who the Holy Spirit is, and we believe in him. Every time we pray the creed, as we will momentarily, we pray, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son." The Holy Spirit is the third divine person of the Most Holy Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Son. And he proceeds, or as theologians say, spirates, because he is breathed from, in a sense, the Father and the Son, as the infinite love or charity between them, between the Father and the Son. St. John the Apostle must have had each of the three divine persons in mind when he said, Deus caritas est, God is charity, God is love. But in a special way, these words can be applied to the Holy Spirit, precisely because he is the very love or charity of the Father and the Son. Deus caritas est. That's who the Holy Spirit is in a few words. But what does the Holy Spirit do or desire to do in our lives? What's his mission? As the theologians would say, ad extra, outside, you could say, the bosom of the Trinity. What is his mission in creation? What does he do or desire to do for us? He desires to sanctify us, our sanctification. Since supernatural charity or love is the very essence of the spiritual life or the Christian life, the whole work of sanctification is therefore attributed to or appropriated to the Holy Spirit. It's kind of his special mission, his specialization, you could say. As the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit accomplishes for us in some manner what he accomplished for the apostles, namely, as the Catechism of St. Pius X describes, the Holy Spirit confirmed the apostles in the faith, filled them with light, strength, charity, and an abundance of all his gifts. Similarly, the Holy Spirit confirms us in the faith, fills us with the light of truth, strength, fortitude, charity, and all of his gifts, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, piety, fortitude, and fear of the Lord, gifts that he gives to us for our own sanctification as well as for the upbuilding of the church. And just as the apostles before Pentecost were all fearful and timid men, but afterwards were bold proclaimers of the gospel, we too, with the Holy Spirit's assistance, with his gifts, can and should be fearless proclaimers of the gospel, evangelizers, missionaries, so desperately needed in today's world. Another question, we already know, comes from our catechism, but it's always good to review these things. When do we receive the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit comes into our souls, firstly at baptism. Of course, we receive everything in baptism, in a sense, in seed form, as it were. The Holy Spirit then increases his gifts and fruits within us at confirmation. And then he further sanctifies us whenever we receive the sacraments, especially confession and Holy Communion. He abides always within us when we live in the state of sanctifying grace. He's especially within us, operating within us, when we commit ourselves to a life of prayer. prayer. This is the great art that the Holy Spirit desires to teach us and help us to master. He is the greatest teacher of prayer. As St. Paul states in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. Remember that it was upon completing the first novena of intense prayer that the apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So through prayer, the Holy Spirit comes to us in a special way. And now let us recall an amazing truth already mentioned. That is, the Holy Spirit always dwells within us, so long as we live in a state of sanctifying grace, as I already mentioned. Your Christ promised us so when he said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to dwell with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you shall know him, because he will dwell with you and be in you." And St. Paul adds, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" St. Teresa of Avila draws this conclusion. Our soul is a little heaven in which the Creator of heaven and earth takes up his abode. Is there anything so grand as to see him, whose grandeur would fill a thousand worlds, hiding himself in such a little dwelling as our soul? The Holy Spirit really does abide in our souls. He's been called and is the sweet guest, the delightful guest of our souls. But do we ever take notice of him? Do we ever spend time in prayer with him? And chances are we don't, or at least not enough time, prayer to the Holy Spirit. Something that we should strive to change, to try to spend more time in prayer to the Holy Spirit in particular. On this Feast of Pentecost, let us therefore renew our devotion to the Holy Spirit and ask for this grace through the intercession of Our Lady, who is spouse of the Holy Spirit. It was through her intercession, united with her in prayer, that the apostles received that first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the same goes for us. Gathered around her in prayer, she intercedes for us with her divine spouse, the Holy Spirit, to give us his choicest gifts. As St. Louis de Montfort wrote, "God the Holy Spirit entrusted his wondrous gifts to Mary, his faithful spouse, and chose her as the dispenser of all he possesses, so that she distributes all his gifts and graces to whom she wills, as much as she wills, how she wills, and when she wills. No heavenly gift is given to men which does not pass through her virginal hands." Let us then stay close to Mary, be truly devoted to her, and we'll surely grow in our true devotion to the Holy Spirit. And this devotion will only reap marvelous fruits of holiness, our sanctification, and the upbuilding of the church. Praise be Jesus and Mary.